First John chapter 5, I want to start right here with this one verse here as our springboard into the subject at hand this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. John, as the apostle, is writing to the children of God. This is a book to save folks. And he writes here in this verse, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." So who's that? Well, that's saved. Okay, that's we who are saved. "And for the purpose of that," and there's a semicolon there, "that ye may know that ye have eternal life," all right, so that we might be taught that, that we might be reinforced in that, that we might be helped out to understand the details of it and things contained in the scripture. So he says, "I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So he says here, "I'm writing unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." He says, "that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And so we who are saved, and we're going to look into a little bit of detail about that, but we who are saved, we believe and trust in Christ. And the apostle has written unto us, the Lord has provided this word, given us this word, that we may continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And so the subject for this morning's message, a reminder about faith, a reminder about faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you for your people, Father, that have come and assembled themselves together that we might worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your provision in that. Thank you that you've made a time, you've made a day. And Lord, that this church has determined services to meet together to worship you. And we thank you for the way you've blessed already. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless and help in it, Father. Thank you for Jesus, by whom all things are possible. And thank you, Father, for saving faith and Lord, salvation through your dear Son. And Lord, the many, many wonderful things that you've done for us in Christ. Lord, oh Father, that we might rejoice in them, that we might enjoy them, that we might praise your name in them. And Lord, that we might worship you and serve you and be a good witness of you and what you've done for us to others round about us that are without Christ. We pray, Father, and we thank you for visitors and for those that are here in our midst that are not saved. We pray that you would save them. And Lord, work in their hearts and change them, touch them, make them your own. Lord, save their souls as you only can. And Lord, work in their hearts. And Lord, just bless as you only can. Be with those of our brothers and sisters that are away from us, those that have ailments and illness and sickness. And Father, pray that you might help and protect and heal and bless and bring them back unto us. And Lord, we just will give you the praise and honor and glory for it. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. John here writes, he says, "And these things and the contents of this particular epistle, I believe, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." So they do presently, they have believed and do presently do so. They do so "that ye may know that you have eternal life." So that be reinforced. You might learn about it, know about it. You know, someone that's saved may not necessarily believe or understand about all the aspects of eternal life. Okay? It could be that someone would be saved by the Lord Jesus and by repentance and faith in him and the working of the Spirit of God, but because they're a babe, not understand about eternal life or eternal security or the security of the believer and such as that. And they need to be taught that. And that's one reason for the ministry and work of the church, indeed. But he writes to we who are saved that we might, if you will, continue, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe. I think that's future tense, okay? Present to future tense, on the name of the Son of God. And so we have this that we continue to believe. A life begun by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will yield a continued life of repentance and faith in Christ. I mean, we need to understand that and know that. John, he deals with our dealing with the old man, in that there is a provision for the children of God that when we sin, we can ask for forgiveness, and that Jesus Christ stands there to forgive us because of what he's done for us. And we can be cleansed, and we can be washed by the Lord, and we can, if you will, in a sense, be made whole again. We're secure in Christ, but we are in this battle, this warfare, and the apostle deals with some of those things there. We need to continue to believe in the Lord. Our faith needs to be strengthened. Our faith needs to be exercised. Our faith indeed needs to grow. And in Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to turn over here and let's just take a walk down through here, these passages, that we might have a reminder about faith. Maybe, and we miss our brothers and sisters in Christ. We do, and we don't have as many this morning as we're normally used to having, and we miss them. But I wish they were here. I wish circumstances were such that they were be able to be with us. But what we have is what we have, and they're not. And so, does that cause, when we would see something like this, would that cause our faith to drop? Would that cause our faith to wane? Well, it shouldn't, because the Lord is here, and he's promised to be here. And again, I'm glad that you're here. It's much more enjoyable to have people to preach to than not. Okay? I like having folks to preach to. Without folks to preach to, it's just not the same. Okay? Even though I need the message. Okay? I do need the message, but it's just not the same. And so, our faith is in the Lord. Our faith is in the Lord, and he saved us. And our faith ongoing is in the Lord. And so we have like this situation this morning, or we run into other situations, other things come about in our lives, our individual lives, the life of our family, the life of our church. And how is it about our faith? Does our faith wane and waver? Yeah, we have that, but our faith needs to be increased. We need to be, our faith is based upon the Lord, not upon circumstance, but upon the Lord, and we need to grow in this. And so the Lord just impressed me about this, a reminder about faith. John says, I'm writing to you that believe that you might keep on believing, that you know you have eternal life, and that you might keep on believing. I think the apostle here in Hebrews speaks along that same subject, but in a different way. We pick it up in chapter 10, verse number 35. And he says here, the scripture says here, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, your outspokenness, your frankness, or even being blunt about the truth. In verse number 32, he says, and he tells them to call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, okay, when you were saved. We need to go back and think about when the Lord saved us and when the Lord convicted us about the salvation and about Christ and saved our souls and visited us with the Word of God and again showed us about our sin, showed us about our wretchedness, showed us about our need, and revealed unto us Christ as Savior for us. He says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Okay, the outspokenness or the frankness or the bluntness, which hath great recompense of reward. The Lord will reward faithfulness. We don't serve the Lord for the reward, but he will reward faithfulness. It's just the great blessing of God. Okay? And he said, it does have recompense of reward, but don't cast away that confidence, for ye have need of patience. And I find that interesting. With faith, if faith is going to grow, if faith, our faith in the Lord is going to be a testimony of the Lord, okay, understand that, as faith, our faith is a witness to those round about us. If our faith is going to be a testimony to the faithfulness of the Lord, patience is going to be up right there beside her, up there close. And you've heard me said it, and I believe that it's so much of this life and walking with the Lord and looking to the Lord and seeking the Lord's help in the things of life and just our witness and walk with the Lord, we're going to have to wait a lot of the time. We're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait on the Lord. And so in patience, we need to extend and have faith towards the Lord that he's going to work. But he may not work as fast as you and I want him to work. I generally always want the Lord to work faster than he does, okay? Because I am impatient naturally. But when we have the issues of life, we have the things of life with faith, faith in the Lord, patience is going to be near. He says, for ye have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Okay, and there are many things in this promise that is there. In chapter 4, it talks about the rest. We wait on the rest that we'll have eternally with the Lord. We have a present rest now. And then as a children of God, and then before that, we have the rest in Christ and salvation. You can have a child of God that's saved that not have present day rest. Why? When I get tangled up with the world and the things of the world and get away from the Lord and backslide and all that, my rest goes away. And I'm not talking about being able to sleep or not sleep. I'm talking about being disturbed. I'm talking about a lack of peace. I'm talking about being upset. I'm talking about not knowing what overwrought with not knowing about what the future holds and situations that are coming about and such as that. But if I'm near to the Lord, trusting in Him, fellowshipping with Him, worshiping Him, we will have rest. He says, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, do what there is to do in front of us. Okay? There is that we can do in obedience to the Lord, and we need to do that. And when it's clear, we need to do that. The children of God sometimes, I believe maybe many times, won't do the things that are before us to do, and we don't have rest just right up front. We end up with guilt because the Lord says and speaks in that still small voice, I want you to obey in this, I want you to obey in that, I want you to obey in the other. I make it very plain in my word, and we say no, and then we won't have any rest. But he says that after you've done the will of God, what we know that the Lord's given us to do, you might receive the promise. There's the blessing of the Lord at hand. For verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That's one of the greatest promises and hopes that we have, is that Jesus is coming. We have faith in that, don't we? But we must wait for him to come, don't we? See that there? He says he will not tarry. And don't misunderstand about that word tarry. The Lord is not going to delay. He's just waiting for the directive from the Father to go. Okay? So it's that when you see that word tarry, it's not about the Lord saying, well, I should have went now, but I'm going to wait a little bit longer. Well, I should have went now. Now's the time to go, but I'm not. It's not, the Lord's not procrastinating. Okay, in that word tarry. He's just waiting for the time, the directive from the Father. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith in the meantime. When we see Jesus, will we live by faith then? No, we'll live by sight then, in his presence, with a new body. Without any hindrance of service and obedience to the Lord, we will rule and reign and live with our Savior eternally. Won't need faith then, will we? But in the meantime, we need faith because we don't see him with these eyeballs, but we do know that he is faithful. He lives within us. He's given us his word, and he and his word is true. Now, the just shall live by faith, faith in the Lord, faith in him, not just this attribute of faith that's here in this little package, something you can bottle up or something that you can box up. But it's always the scripture speaking about faith. It's speaking about faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the justified, the saved shall live by faith. It's a testimony to the fact that they are saved, that they are faithful. They live by faith and trusting in the Lord. John said, I've written to you that believe, that you might keep on believing. The continued faith of the people that claim to be the people and the children of God, it'll be manifested that they are because they will live by faith. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, and this word draw back is talking about to cower or to shrink, to be faced with an issue, a calamity, a situation, and say, no, the Lord can't work in that. No, I can't go there with the Lord. Remember the parable that the Lord gives about the four different types of soil and about those, I believe in the second or the third soil, that because of persecution, because of the word, they fall away? No, see, it's not going to be that way with the people of God. The justified shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, quoting the Lord. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition or destruction or perish or waste, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Perseverance of the saints. The people of God, those that are saved, will keep on keeping on. How? In and of themselves? Sheer grit, will, and determination? No, faith in the Lord. That which we started with in salvation, faith in the Lord, will be that by which and with which we will continue. And then we break into this great chapter. Now, faith. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse number 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't have any faith in the Lord Jesus. You don't have faith in the Lord. Your faith has not grown. You have no substance. You have no substance. Because it's the get your hands on the matter at hand. It's what you can put your hands on, if you will. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith in the Lord Jesus, and so many ways that faith can be exercised, and namely, we're going to see in this chapter, and the pinnacle of it is believe in God and what He says. Believe in Him and His Word. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, you don't have faith, your faith in the Lord is not growing, you have no substance, you have no evidence. Because it's that by which you live, and it's that by which you witness. Do you claim the Lord? Is it such that I claim the Lord, but then others around me and in my life just see that what I say is cheap and nothing because none of my life has anything to do with what the Lord does in my life? If I don't have any faith, I have no substance. I have no evidence of these things not seen, of my Lord not seen. It says here, for by it, by faith, faith in the Lord, the elders obtained a good report of God. What does the Lord say about our faith? What does the Lord say about our relationship with Him? Oh, we can put on and we can fake out one another, but what does the Lord say about our relationship with Him? What does the Lord say about Jim Duke's faith? What does the Lord say about my relationship with Him? What does the Lord say? That's what really matters. It doesn't matter what you say, and I'm your pastor, I'm to be a good witness to you and to be an example to you. But it doesn't matter what you think or what you say. What matters is what the Lord says about my faith. And it's the same thing for you. For by it, the elders obtained a good report of God. They obtained a good report of men, too, in being a witness to men, women, boys, and girls that the Lord had put in their life. Faith. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, take a look over here, one verse. I trust a familiar verse. And this ties right in with this, how we start and how we live. And the apostle said it in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, are you saved? It's just another way of saying that you're born again, or that you've been saved, or that you have been redeemed, or you are the child of God. Just another way of saying that. Do you live in the Spirit? I'm alive in the Spirit. I'm alive in Christ. The Lord has saved my soul. You that are here and saved, you are alive in the Spirit. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. From the time that the Lord birthed us again, what did He tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. We were birthed in the Spirit. Birthed in the Spirit by the Lord. Made alive. Born again. Saved. Redeemed. Made a child of God. Made a son of God. Many different ways it can be said. But He said, if we're alive in the Spirit, we've got some more walking to do. And we need to walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's talking about life. That's talking, as Peter says in his epistles, about the rest of the time, that we live the rest of our time, not according to what the flesh wants or the old man wants, but according to what God wants. But you know what? A person is not going to be interested at all in what God wants unless they believe God and have faith in Him. Him. In Him. In the man, the God man, Christ Jesus. See, if I've got faith in Him, everything He says, everything He does, everything He directs in is important to me. But if I'm not alive in Christ, what do I care about what the Lord says? We do as the natural man does. We live this life for self. And the Lord says, live it for Him. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then in Romans chapter 10, let's take a look over here and just take a look at these things. And just, again, a reinforcement of how this is. We begin this life as a child of God by repentance and faith. And so it is that we will continue this life for the Lord, will continue in repentance and faith. Paul wrote there, or the apostle wrote there in Hebrews, said, we don't talk about anybody that, you know, we don't believe that there's a falling away of the children of God. You may be backslidden, but you don't go away from faith in the Lord. It says here in Romans chapter 10, let's just take a look at this. In verse number 15, there are those that are sent, middle part of the verse. And what do? They preach the message that the Lord gives, right? Verse 15 of Romans 10. And then there are those that are preached to that hear. And you know what? The Lord's working in all this. Who sends the preachers? Who sends the witness? The Lord does. Who gives them the message? Is it their own message? No, it's the message of the Lord. And then sinners hear it, don't they? Yeah, and that's the working of the Lord. Yet it is something that is done. It is done. It is there. And so there are those that are sent, and there are those that proclaim and preach the Word of God, and there are those that hear. And what's that hearing cause them to do? When they really hear, they believe. They believe what God says. And see, they believe that it's true. They believe about their condition. They believe about Christ. They believe about the warning of judgment to come. And what is it? In verse 14, at the beginning, they call upon the Lord. They make their petition before the Lord. The thief on the cross said the way he said it, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The way I said it is, "Lord, save me. I need you to save me. I'm in need of your salvation's of the Lord." Don't think that it's not recipe, but there is order to it. It's not incantation. Say this, that, and the other, and you'll be saved. No, you call out upon the Lord in your need and in His ability to save. He's the one that saves. But there is order here. Preachers are sent, and they preach a message that sinners hear. And the Lord is involved in it all, and sinners believe, and they call. And you know what? They're saved. They're saved. And folks have taken this passage and so misused it and abused it. I think it's made it to where we may be tempted that we'd even shun away from it. But this is the order and the working that's there. And the Lord giving us the commission in the church. These are things we're supposed to be doing. The Lord will take care of the spirit part in us and in them. But we're to do this, and that's the way that it works in this life. And it says here in verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." They won't be bashful about the Lord, and they won't be confused about the Lord. But they'll cry out, "Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy." And then in verse number 16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." They don't believe. Don't believe it. reject it. Say it's foolishness. And so on. And then verse 17, a hallmark passage, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's the reason we got to put the word of God out. That's the reason we need to cleave to the word of God in our life and our walk with the Lord after we've been saved. And so here, in back in Hebrews 11, and he said there in verse 10, the just are going to live by faith. The Lord will have no pleasure in those that draw back. But we're not of them that draw back into perdition. We don't believe that. That's not so. That's not everlasting life. That's not salvation of the by the Lord. But to them that believe, to the saving of the soul. Again, there it is again. Faith. Faith. A reminder about faith. And so faith being the substance, and faith being that by which men, the children of God, have a good report of God because we believe in Him. It's a good report of the children of God and their witness to others, that we say, not do this, 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 and this, not give this, 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 and this, or not promise this, this, and this, and this, but we say, believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. And so then in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And they were. He made this place out of nothing, so that things which were not made, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He made it out of nothing by the word of His mouth. I believe that. And it's foundational. And it is true. And then we see this. By faith in this chapter, 16 times it said, by faith what? By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why? Because Abel believed what God had told Adam, and we believe Adam taught to his sons that that's what God wanted. God said, do the sacrifice this way, and Adam said, okay. And Adam taught his sons, and Adam taught Abel, and God said, and he told Abel, he taught Abel, he said, this is the way God wants it, and Abel said, okay. So I'm going to raise me up a lamb, and I'm going to offer that lamb when it's appropriate time, in the appropriate place, in the appropriate way, whatever it was. He believed God. Cain said, I don't believe God. The work of my hands is good enough. See that? Why was Abel's sacrifice more excellent? Because he believed God. It was God's way, and Cain's was not. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Remember, good report in verse number 2? Abel still has a good report today. We're still talking about Abel's stand for what was right, even though it cost him his life. We're still talking about it today. Was Abel a faithful man? I say, we can say amen to that, can't we? He was a faithful man. He believed God, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. There's that good report from God, wasn't it? And by it being dead, yet speaketh. That's a good report amongst men. By just simply obeying God. More than anything else that was upon the earth. Abel could have given in to the way that Cain told, the way of doubt, the way of change, the way of disobedience. Again, Abel could have given into that. He says, no, I believe God, period. And it cost him his life, didn't it? By faith, Enoch, verse 5, was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God. He believed God. God said it. Enoch believed it. Then I've told you before, I wonder if Enoch won't be one of the witnesses there amongst Israel. I don't know. But what Jude tells us about what Enoch said, he was sick and tired of the wicked way of man. And he testified of it. And Brother Jude, the Lord used that and brought it out into the scripture to tell us about that today. Enoch pleased God, and we're still talking about it today. Amen? He and God put it in His Word, and we have we give a report. Was Enoch a faithful man? He was. He believed God. And when God said it, he believed it. But see, here's this. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, to please God. Faith is the top rung pleaser of God. See, not what we can do. Yes, out of faith springs our action. James tells us about that. Faith is shown by our works. But the top rung thing, the thing on the top of the list to please God is to believe Him. Believe Him in every way, in every whit. To believe what God says. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can try everything else and you're not going to bring a smile to the face of the Lord. But with faith, the Lord is pleased. And it starts off about repentance and faith in His Son. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Yeah, that He is there. And that He is the rewarder, a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you seek the Lord? Do you desire the Lord? Do you desire for that hole that you have in your heart and your life and your soul to be filled by that which is eternal? The Lord Jesus Christ, faith in Him, salvation of your soul? Or do you want your own way? God will not be pleased by anything but faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, not seen as yet, worldwide flood, rain, destruction of all flesh on the earth, wasn't seen yet. Impossible. Cannot be. Look about. It's going to begin to go. It grows. It starts off with Abel and just simple sacrifice. It talks about Enoch walking in day-to-day life with God. Now here with Noah, we've got something that's impossible. Worldwide flood? What are you talking about? It's never rained. But Noah believed God. He believed God. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and he built it the way God told him to. By the which he condemned the world, there's his report. I believe what God says. And the world laughed him to scorn. But the Lord says it's a good report. Noah lived, didn't he? Because he believed God. But everybody else died. Right? Noah and his household prepared an ark of the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know what? The line of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as all of us, but the line of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, goes through Noah, doesn't it? We do too. But Noah, obeying what God said, believing what God said, he had faith unto God, was blessed to be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that simple thing, it wasn't so simple, was it? But he in that impossible thing, he yet believed God. And those things he didn't understand, he yet believed God. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. The Lord said, go, and Abraham took off. Didn't necessarily know the whole plan. Didn't know the whole directive. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. He left maybe his house, his brick-and-mortar house, to live in a tent. Because God said, go. With Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you and I doing so? Do we believe that the Lord has such a place prepared for us? In James chapter 2, take a look over here in James. James chapter 2, look at this. James speaking about faith being known by works and made manifest by such. In verse number 23 of James chapter 2, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Wow. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to the disciples there in John chapter 15? He says, I'm telling you all the will of the Father. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. He said, I no longer call you servants, I'm calling you friends. They believed the Lord. They were chosen of the Lord and blessed by the Lord, and they believed Him. Abraham looked for a city that God was going to build and that God promised him. And then it goes on in verse number 11 of chapter 11 in Hebrews. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. It's impossible for her to have a child. But she did. So she believed what God said. And therefore, verse 12, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Out of Jacob, one child, one man, born impossibly to a mother past age and a father past age, and look, the whole nation of Israel has sprung out of that man. Because they believed God. Yeah, and they tried things their own way, and that just has dealt a fit even until today. But they believed the Lord ultimately, and the Lord blessed them. These all died in faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. Not having received the promises. It's a whole message in and of itself. The promise of the return of the Lord, the promise of the Messiah. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, they embraced those promises and they were persuaded of those promises because all those promises rested in the Lord. If He's promised it, even though we don't understand it, we believe Him and trust Him in it. When it's time for us to understand it, we believe in the Lord that He'll show us and reveal it unto us. Faith in Him. Not faith in a doctrine, faith in a dogma, faith in philosophy, but faith in one, the Lord. The Lord, faith in Him. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They're looking forward to what the Lord has promised to do. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out there, or the Chaldees, right? They might have had opportunity to have returned. But when Abraham left, he left. Why? Because God told him to. And he believed the Lord. He trusted the Lord. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return and have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. They believed Him. And the Lord says, my faithful children that believe in me. A reminder about faith. Abraham was tried when he was there and told of the Lord to offer up Isaac. Wait a minute. That's the child that was promised. The promised child through whom all that came through. I said Jacob, and it was Jacob, but Isaac was the one. It says there in verse number 12, him as good as dead. And the Lord said, go sacrifice that child and kill him. What was the faithfulness of Abraham? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He believed the Lord. He believed the Lord in the impossible. Wait a minute, Isaac's the, we had Ishmael, and that was a mess. And now Isaac, you've brought Isaac, Lord, and you want me to kill him? He's the one that you've promised that all this is going to come through. But if that's what you say, it's what I'll do. In the impossible, because see, Abraham's faith was not in his son. Even though the son was a part of the working of God, it wasn't in his son. It was in God. It was in God. It was in his Lord. He knew that the Lord, having promised what he promised through Isaac, even if he killed Isaac, that God could raise him up from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, verse 20. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And Jacob had some trying times wondering about Joseph, but he was able to see Joseph's children. And Joseph was able to see even unto his great-grandchildren. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones because he believed what the Lord said, that he would not be buried there. It was done. He says, they're going to put up my bones and they're going to preserve me. They're not going to be buried here. And when the Lord delivers you out of here, you carry me out too. Because this is not our land. Canaan is our land promised by God. Joseph believed God, even unto that. Moses, Amram and Jochebed, his parents, Pharaoh said, kill them. And they said, no, we'll not kill our child. Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, verse number 24. He desired to be with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed the reproach of his Lord. That's the way. That's what he had been born to. That's what he had been called to. Greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God commanded it, and that's what whence he was from. And that's what he desired. He forsook Egypt and endured, verse number 27, there at the latter part, as seeing him who is invisible. How? By faith. We've not seen God with these eyes. But we do believe that he's there, don't we? And we don't believe that he's preoccupied with something and doesn't care about his children, do we? But he's real and he's there and we do walk with him, don't we? Well, if we have faith, we do and we should. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Why kill so many lambs? Well, why would God give his son? But it was a testimony of what the Lord Jesus would do. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, and that was an impossible way to go, but not with God. And then Jericho. And then, in particular, in the account at hand, in this passage, Rahab is mentioned. What's it say here about Rahab in verse 31? By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, but she rather believed, didn't she? When she had received the spies with peace, she says, your God is my God, and I want your God that has so great power. My faith is in him, the great, great grandmother to David. And then others that are mentioned here, and many things that they endured, some by name. David is mentioned there and the faithfulness of David, a man after God's own heart. And then it comes down here to verse number 39. And these all, having obtained a good report of the Lord and of men, women, boys, and girls upon the earth, what was the good report? Their faith in God. They believed God. Through faith, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, that's the only way they could, received not the promise, the promise of the Savior, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God used their lives, and God's working in their lives to bring a testimony of faith down here to you and me. You see that? We think about our lives being used of God for the sake of those that will be after us. Well, brothers and sisters, it's happening. We're leaving a testimony of our faith in the Lord. And what would be written about it? Would it be something that would be used like these brothers and sisters have been used to be a testimony to the truth and the right way and to us as it has been, hadn't it? Hasn't their faith been a witness and a testimony to us? Well, how will our faith be used of the Lord? Will it be a witness and testimony to others? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The Lord, they are witnesses to us and examples to us, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10. All these things happen unto them for examples to us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Faith. A reminder about faith. How is it with your faith? Are you believing the Lord? Have you been saved by the Lord through repentance and faith? And are you continuing to exercise faith in your life? Can it be seen by those around you? Would you have, you and I have a good report about our faith before the Lord? Oh, may the Lord help us if, as John says and writes, if we've sinned before the Lord, may we repent of it and get it right with Him and be forgiven and be cleansed and our faith grow, our faith in the Lord grow. That we might have that closer walk with the Lord and that we might be a good witness to sinners around. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11, and this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. A reminder about faith. Faith. Faith, we sing the song, faith is the victory. And indeed it is, because faith in the Lord.